Ruth and chapter 4 and verse 18. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahashon, Nahashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. We come tonight to look at the book of Ruth. You remember, perhaps, the overview I'm trying to give you of the books of the Bible. We can summarise it like this. Genesis is in the beginning of the world, the beginning of man, the beginning of sin and rebellion. Not the beginning of the gospel. The first revelation of the gospel itself, begins in eternity. The sovereign purpose of God before the world began. We find the beginning of the Hebrew people as the Lord called Abraham and made promise to him. Exodus in and out of Egypt. Part of Exodus is taken up with the building of the tabernacle. And that then leads us on to Leviticus, because Leviticus is in the tabernacle. Numbers in the promised land. Wandering in the wilderness. The tabernacle constructed. God in the presence of his people. But there, wandering in the wilderness. Deuteronomy in the promised land. Not that they were then in the promised land, but they were at the edge of the promised land, and here were the terms in which the people of God were to live when they entered. Then Joshua into the promised land, taking possession of what the Lord had provided for them. But then we come to the book of Judges. And the book of Judges can be summarised like this. In a mess. Despite all that God has done for his people, despite the provision that God has made, and the terms that he has given to them, so that they might live and enjoy his blessing, we find that there is sin, there is rebellion, there is selfishness. Men did as they thought best themselves. And the consequences, utter mess. In a mess. And then we come to the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth can be summarised as this. In control. What comfort there is when we come to the book of Ruth to see that despite all this, God is in control. The title comes, of course, from the name of the principal character. But you could argue that Ruth herself is not the principal character, but Naomi. The book begins with Naomi and it ends by making reference to Naomi before Ruth is introduced and then after Ruth, after the final reference to Ruth. And the book of Ruth is often compared and contrasted with Esther. I think that is coincidental in that both books are named after female characters, and there are only two books in the Bible to be named in that way. And I don't think their primary purpose is for us to draw them together and to make comparison and to make contrast, because Ruth belongs in our own time. The type of writing we have here is historical narrative. And also, there's a genealogical record, and that's the last few verses that we read in chapter 4. It's historical narrative, but it's a very focused account. And it's an account which is full of drama. In fact, it's an account which is full of romance. But it speaks to us about the Lord's redemption. Remember, Ruth is one of the former prophets. We think of the prophets as those who taught. But the Jews understood the historical books after Joshua to be the former prophets. And here, in recording the history of the time, the Lord is speaking to us. We can consider it as, in some ways, to be a political tract. You have lots of political leaflets coming through your doors to snag. The land, the people, are in a mess. The book of Judges, which describes that mess, is calling out to us and saying, you need a king. Don't you see? You need a king. Without a king, everything's a mess. Without a king, all is lost. And Ruth follows on. And Ruth follows on by saying, yes, you need a king. You need a king from Judah. You need a king. You need David. Ruth takes us directly to David himself. And in that self sense, it's a political tract. And what it's telling us is, yes, David has history. His grandmother was a Moabite. Great-grandmother was a Moabite. But see what a caliber. See what a caliber of that woman is. See her faith and see her love. And that's what we have here. Historical narrative demonstrating how we need David as our king. And we're shown the calibre of the line from which he comes. To try to divide the book up, we can look at the different chapters. The first chapter is, can be summarised as weeping. Chapter 2, working. Chapter 3, waiting. And chapter 4, as a wedding. Weeping, working, waiting, and a wedding. The principal themes of this book. First of all, following on from the book of Judges, there are the consequences of sin. So we read in chapter 1, Naomi is utterly barren, bereft of hope. Why? Because they've departed from the land, departed from the place where the Lord has brought his people, wandered afar, and lost everything. See Naomi, she says, don't call me Naomi, don't call me Pleasant, call me Mara, because the Lord has dealt very bitterly with me. The consequences of sin. But we're shown too that though there are terrible consequences to sin, that the Lord is in control. The book of Ruth demonstrates to us the perfect precision of providence. God is in control despite man and despite the folly of man. Yes, there is chastisement upon his people because of their sin. But yet there is the sovereign hand of God who is so ordering events that the gospel comes to this woman Ruth, this Moabitess, far away in a foreign land, and she's brought into the kingdom, and through her we find David, and of course through David we're brought on ultimately to David's greater son, to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's control. R.C. Sproul says very helpfully that there's no maverick molecule in the universe. He rules over everything. Chapter 2, it says that Ruth's hap was to light upon the field of Boaz. It just so happened. It wasn't planned. It wasn't anticipated. No one could have seen it. But we see there God directing and keeping. And that's how it is for ourselves, isn't it? We have no idea, and we don't understand, and we don't anticipate. But yet, the Lord God, who takes care of Ruth and takes care of Naomi, is the one who takes care of his people in every generation. The Lord's control. His control also, even with Naomi's poor witness. She's a believer, but she's a poor example of a believer. She's just like us. She's not as she ought to be. Naomi's compromised. And Naomi's on the verge of hopelessness. And yet, Ruth sees something in her which brings her to the Lord. Naomi can't boast because it's not of her doing, is it? It's the Lord's mercy. Well, the themes, the consequence of sin, the Lord's control, but the Lord's compassion also. Surely that stands out. There's Naomi, and we see the pessimism of old age. Life is gone. Once upon a time she had potential. There was always a maybe. There was always a what if. She could anticipate that something might happen. But here she is at the end of life, and it's wasted and squandered. And we see how the Lord comforts this woman. The barren wilderness of regret. And the Lord comforts her. We see his compassion. And it's pictured for us in the human love that we see in Boaz. It speaks to us of the greater divine love as he gathers and he embraces these desolate women. And as he gathers and embraces his desolate people. The Lord's control, the Lord's compassion. The final major theme of this book, of course, is the Lord's Christ, because it takes us to him. Christ means the anointed one. And of course, David is the anointed one, because he was anointed king of Israel. But it takes us beyond David. Although the name of the Saviour is not given here, it takes us to David's greater son. The Lord's Christ, isn't that the consequence of his control and of his compassion, that he brings forth the Saviour? Three key texts I want to draw to your attention. And the first is the first verse of the book. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And it's rooting the book firmly in a historical setting of chaos. It's the days of the judges. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. There's no king. There's no king. Remember, we've just read Judges. And that's what Judges is repeating. There's no king and everything's crumbling. And Ruth picks up that story and continues. There's no king. Everything's crumbling. And see what's happened. But then also in chapter 1, we have verses 16 and 17. Ruth's words to Naomi: entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people will be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. See, her faith, her confidence, her trust in the Lord. And we see how her faith is not disappointed as the Lord takes care of her. Surely these words are calling to us. that we too would set our trust and our hope in the Lord, and that we would follow where he leads, and that we would dwell with his people and not return and not go from where, not go back to where we came from. And then words in chapter 4, third text I want to identify. That's in verse 17. And it's the words of the woman, the neighbours of Naomi in Bethlehem, who come and say, "There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." Beginning of the book, we need a king. The example of Ruth's faith, we need a king of this caliber. And at the end of the book, we need David. David to be our king. But then, how does the book of Ruth take us to the Saviour? And of course, that's what we're always looking for when we're reading the scripture. What does this teach me about the Lord Jesus Christ? How do I find him here in this Old Testament historical narrative about a different nation, different world from which we live in? There's no mention of the Saviour by name. Well, we find him, of course, foreshadowed in his son, foreshadowed in David, David's greater son, foreshadowed in David, the King of Kings. And just as David was what Israel needed to bring peace and to bring order to their lawlessness and their godlessness, so we need Christ to subdue us and to bring us under his rule and to bring order to us. We find him also foreshadowed in Boaz, not just in David, but in Boaz. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Boaz, the one who loved the law of God. He didn't do just what was required, but who was abundant and extravagant in his love. Ruth came to glean in the fields, and Boaz said to the reapers, "Don't just let her get what maybe she might be able to gather, but leave handfuls. Take care of her. Encourage her." The abundant, extravagant love of Boaz, who nevertheless is concerned that he would take care of Ruth legitimately. Although there is this extravagant love, when Boaz sees that there is a nearer kinsman, one who has a claim, who has a right to redeem her before he has, he stands back. Because he won't do anything that's inappropriate. Because he trusts in the Lord. And you know, of course, that that other man, he declines to be the redeemer. And Boaz stands in. And we find a loving and a legal redeemer. A picture of the Saviour, whose abundant love, and yet whose justice and righteousness. We find our Lord Jesus foreshadowed in David, foreshadowed in Boaz. And we find our Lord Jesus as the King of Kings, the one who is ruling over all and controlling all these events, ordering everything for his glory and for our good. We see him here unseen, but the one who in providence is gathering Jew and Gentile, gathering from distant Moab, gathering from the ends of the earth, all those who will come and trust in him. Ruth, God is in control. a story of redemption, able to save us from the barren wilderness of regret, to bring fruitfulness, to bring satisfaction, and to bring joy where there has been nothing but emptiness and weeping. We sang in Psalm 68 these words: because the Lord our Father is unto the fatherless, God is the widow's judge within his place of holiness. God doth the solitary set in families, and from bands the chains doth free, but rebels do inhabit parched lands. And the book of Ruth is calling out to us to not continue as rebels, but to rejoice in the goodness of God, to come out of these barren parched lands and to come and to drink and to be satisfied in the wells of redemption. Amen. Donald.